Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Our man Jason Longshore on Twitter at Longshoe. Hopefully he's warmed up from what was a chilly day up there in Toronto. And Jason, we didn't have much expectation because of the international competition and everybody's, well, not everybody, but a large portion of your team was not there. So is that what you expected up in Toronto?
Yeah, a game like that, it comes down to getting the first goal. And in the conditions that both teams are dealing with, and yeah, to be fair, you always have to say that because I know people will jump for, you know, oh, it's an excuse. That was the most miserable I've been for 2+ hours outside. It was awful. 18 degrees wind chill at kickoff. We talked to Brad Kazan afterwards. Doug Robertson and I were having a conversation with him, and he said there was ice on the field. You know, when they're watering the field, which I have no idea why they were doing this before the game and at halftime, it looked like, and Mike Conte and I were watching it, it looked like the water was turning to like ice droplets at the end of the stream before it hit the ground. It was really difficult. And when you're dealing with that, you got to score first because you don't want to be running uphill. And Toronto, for about a five-minute stretch in the first half, their pressure really disrupted Atlanta. They forced a turnover. They get the goal. I thought the guys responded pretty well and had a good spell of play in the second half. Probably the best opportunity with Saba Lobjaniza cutting across the top of the 18. Shot took a deflection. Atlanta earned a corner. But once Toronto got the second goal, it was really difficult.
Jason, I'm not going to use it as an excuse, but what's the rule with the weather where they can call a game if it's that kind of situation where you're putting guys in danger on the field?
Yeah, I mean, you play through it. I can't say, well, I can say, but let me choose my words here. We were outside, too, calling the match. I don't know if you guys have talked to Mike since the game. We were outside. We were in a tent. There wasn't a booth. So we were calling it in that, and I mean, I don't know how the guys dealt with it. It was so hard. You know, it wasn't, I mean, I guess the line of where you're putting guys in danger, sometimes hard to judge. You know, you didn't have, the field was playable even if it wasn't good. It was not ideal. It was very, very hard to play in, hard to do much of anything in, but in those kinds of situations, I think it really goes back to starting well. And it's hard to do that. And I think Atlanta United's guys on the field with five guys making their first start of the 2024 season, it took a while to build any chemistry you could possibly find on a night like that. And ultimately, they didn't find it fast enough. Toronto found it faster.
It is our man, Jason Longshore. We're going to talk about the U.S. men's national team in a second. But what I did get to watch, admittedly, I was bouncing back and forth and everything else that was going on over the weekend. But, you know, the opportunity with Saba, if you get that first goal, as you said, to start the conversation, it just changes everything. And we can park the bus.
Exactly. If you could have found a goal in the first half, and it felt like a real 50-50 sort of game, because it wasn't like Toronto was thriving in these conditions either. Mm. They found something faster, and what they found, and credit to them, that pressure up high. You know, we know how Atlanta United wants to play, and it's easy to say, well, why don't you just do something different in conditions like this? That's not how it works. This isn't a video game. You know, you can't switch the tactic and just immediately flip a switch and play differently. This is a team that wants the ball, and they want to build out of the back, and they create opportunities that way. And when Toronto's pressure was better than Atlanta's ability to play through it, that's ultimately what turned the game. If you've gotten the first goal, I think it's a completely different night. But you don't, and you're on the road, and it's really difficult. You know, tough sledding is the cliche that we use here. Didn't have any snow on the field in this one, but, man, it felt like some tough sledding.
So what do you take from this as far as a learning experience? Obviously, not having all the tools in the box doesn't help, but can you take something from this and build on it?
Yeah, I think you can. I think when you look at this upcoming week's match where you're hosting Chicago off of an international break where, you know, tomorrow Bartosz Ligs, Yorgos Giakoumakis, they're playing with their national teams to try to get into the European Championships this summer. Thiago Almada has another game with the Argentine U23s as they prepare for the Olympics. Caleb Wiley, same with the U.S. U23s. You're going to have guys coming back later in a good bit of minutes under their belt. Getting Dax McCarty 90 minutes, very, very important. You're going to need Dax at times of the season, and it's good to get him a game. Noah Cobb got the start. Good to get him a game. Good to get Jamal Thiaré a start. Good to get Daniel Rios into the match. I thought Rios looked very good when he came on, considering he only had a couple of training sessions with this team. So you got guys' minutes, and it's going to be easier for them to help you on Sunday and help you down the stretch. But, yeah, tough to get a result in those conditions falling behind.
Hey, man, we haven't had a chance to catch up with you on the U.S. men's national team. And Carl and I were just talking last break. Is this going to be the World Cup? We've got a few years to wait where we can really finally get that explosion we've all been expecting. And we've had spurts from the women's run, obviously, in the World Cup to various runs we've been going all the way back to 94. But, man, first off, you had an amazing, dramatic win against Jamaica, and then they continue to dominate Mexico.
Yeah, I have never in all my time really watching the U.S. men's national team closely. I mean, I'm going back to the late 80s when they qualified for the 1990 World Cup. I've never seen them have this level of dominance over Mexico for an extended period of time. You'd have a year or two, you'd have big wins, but not just complete dominance to the point that Mexico isn't even playing like Mexico anymore against the U.S. They played a line of five yesterday. They sat back and defended and played direct. It's the U.S. who's playing soccer. It's the U.S. who's playing the beautiful game. And you're at a point with this generation of players that's come through, and I know the cynical thing that gets thrown around because England went through it with a golden generation, and you expect them to go win a World Cup. This U.S. team, in terms of talent and where they are, is as talented as we've ever had. Are they the most talented team in the world? No. Are they a top five team in the world in terms of talent? No. Can they be a top 10? Yeah, possibly. They're in that ballpark. They're definitely a top 20 team. And the Jamaica game, prime example, you give up a goal in the first minute against a team that wants to come in and park every bus they can find, and they did. It was very difficult to get something out of it. Eventually they did because of that fight through, and I think the spirit that's being developed within this team. Greg Berhalter's got the best winning percentage of any U.S. men's national team manager in history. He's owned Mexico. He's owned this CONCACAF Nations League. The U.S. men's national team's in a really good spot right now. They've got to continue to build, and the summer's Copa America is going to be the real test before the World Cup in 26.
And the whole Reyna, like, soap opera. Remember with his parents at the last World Cup and the bad blood between Berhalter? He had, again, a big goal to help beat Mexico, so that's all water under the bridge?
Yeah, I don't think there was really much of the issue, honestly, between Gio and Greg Berhalter. Reyna didn't handle being told that he wasn't going to start the first World Cup match. He didn't handle it well, and I think that's, you know, kind of indisputable at this point. And right. to the point that some of his teammates called him out on it, he bounced back in that tournament. He contributed in the last match for the national team in the World Cup. And now it's just about Gio being able to play at the club level to be as good as he can possibly be, because he's been great with the national team ever since then. He was great in that match yesterday against Mexico, playing in a little bit deeper role, and I thought he really thrived in it. He's got to get more minutes at the club level. That's the most important thing for him. Only he played more minutes here in the Nations League than he's played since he joined Nottingham Forest on loan in the Premier League for months. That's got to change for him, because he could be one of the most talented players we've ever had.
Well, man, that's great to hear. And again, looking forward to seeing more action. We got the women. Real quick, talk about the women's event coming to Mercedes-Benz next weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait for this. The She Believes Cup, this is a big tournament for the U.S. because it's before the Olympics. The Olympic roster is only 18 players, so there's a lot of competition to get into that team. We're going to find out the roster for She Believes Cup tomorrow, and then we're going to have the broadcast on 92.9 The Game. I think it's the first terrestrial radio broadcast of the U.S. women's national team ever, as far as I can find in history. Huh. Really cool, and we might have the largest crowd in a non-World Cup or non-Olympics game ever. The tickets are flying, the 300 level's open. It's going to be a big-time spectacle, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday at the Benz.
Well, sounds great, man. Good time, Jason. Looking forward. We'll catch up and talk more about that as we get closer to it. And hopefully we'll get against the fire coming up at Mercedes-Benz, get back on the winning side. That's our man, Jason Longshore. Follow him at Longshoe.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.